Roy, you speak with passion, but really your credibility as a champion of the dispossessed is questionable. This is because you are driven by all-consuming rage towards India. I don't know what drives that rage. With all its faults, India is the world's largest democracy. If you were Chinese, you would not be able to speak as you do. It is the democratic process of India which manages to stop powerful companies like Vedanta. You need to take a more wholesome view of India. Allow your mind to list at least list three good things of India and spell them out, and you will have a more receptive audience. The unity of India is not negotiable. Jeremy Paxman the other day picked many holes in your argument, and you need to know this, and you have to be able to answer this. The point is this: you just slipped by saying that this Hindu state is doing something. The Prime Minister of India is a Sikh.
Could I ask people?
Let me just finish. Just 1 minute.
Keep your point short, please. Yes.
The Prime Minister of India is a Sikh.
What is the question?
Sonia Gandhi is a Christian. There are Christian missionary evangelical movements who are spending money and fomenting trouble in India. You need to answer these questions.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Arundhati is very happy to answer this, I'm sure.
Yeah. I'm more than happy to answer the question. I think that the most remarkable and wonderful thing about India is the fact that we have the most remarkable resistance movements you have the poorest people in the world resisting the richest corporations, putting their bodies on the line to ask the world the most profound question the world can be asked, which is to redefine the meaning of civilization, to redefine the meaning of happiness, to redefine the meaning of modernity. As for this question of if you were in China, you would not be allowed to speak, and you know, Felix too said that if it wasn't a democracy, you wouldn't be allowed to write. It's true. I mean, one is not competing for tragedy here, but what I would like to say, though, however, about this freedom of speech in India, can you imagine a few years ago, as you all must know, in 2002, there was a pogrom against the Muslim community. I mean, forget about the fact of what is happening in Kashmir, that, you know, 70,000 people have been killed in the name of democracy, but let me just talk about Gujarat. There was a pogrom in which almost 2,000 Muslims were killed, women were gang raped, people were burnt alive, 150,000 people were driven from their homes. In one instance, an MLA, a Muslim MLA called Ehsan Jafri, was sheltering many Muslims in his house because he was a member of a legislative assembly, and people thought that, you know, he would be protected, that they would be protected from this mob of about 20,000 who gathered. Anyway, the mob gathered, he called the police, he called Sonia Gandhi, he called whoever he had to call, nobody helped him. He went down to tell the mob, look, do what you like with me, but leave the women and children alone. He was held up, his arms and legs were hacked off, and he was burnt alive. And 65 other people were killed in that. A few years later, people who did that confessed on camera to it. Those confessions in this great free speech that we have were published on TV. You had people like Babu Bajrangi boasting about how many Muslims he had killed. You had people boasting about how many Muslims had been raped. You had people describing in great detail how Ehsan Jafri had been killed, all in our free media. Nothing has happened because of that. People said it was actually a campaign by the chief minister to get more popularity among his Hindu voters. So you have a situation in which the elite is fused with the state now and believes itself to be the state. So it's not, I mean, those of us who are saying these things are people who love our rivers and our mountains and who are fighting we love the music of the country that we come from. We love it. We don't speak from a position of hate. We speak from a position of absolute love. And that is why we fight so hard. If there wasn't beauty to preserve, if there wasn't absolute adoration, we wouldn't be there. We wouldn't, I mean, I would be living in, I don't know, Mayfair Gardens or something, you know? Why? One lives there because one loves it. And we fight to preserve the wilderness and the beauty of the imagination that still exists, that's still alive in India, which has been lost everywhere else. We fight for that. So please don't give me lectures about hating my country. I don't.